Welcome to Toret Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Ches, the eighth perek. The eighth perek of the Book of Iyov begins the answer of friend number two who visits Iyov, which is really the answer of why bad things happen to good people, answer number three. Let's recall, Iyov, when he's visited by his two friends, after a week of silence, attempts to explain his suffering. Now, it's important to see that Iyov truly wants to see God as good. He doesn't deny God's existence. And not only that, he doesn't deny God's essential goodness. However, because he sees God as good and he sees himself as not deserving of suffering, the only way that he can explain his suffering is to say that God was not involved in his suffering. In other words, to quote the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, he says, in his attempt to make God good, he has made God stupid, right? God doesn't know, God is not involved, God doesn't care. Eliphaz, the first friend, says, no, Iyov, you are suffering because you sinned. People suffer when they sin. And remember, we said that according to the Rambam, this is the only legitimate reason to tzaddik v'ralo. Even though the Ramban and the Malbim and others and many, many others see this as a far more complex issue, and that's going to be the way we're going to try to deal with it, it's important to know that the Rambam exists. The second friend to visit is called Bildad HaShuchi. Now, who is Bildad? Before we deep dive into his worldview, and we'll look at a little bit of his imagery and the psukim that he uses to talk about Tzadik Varalo, we need to understand who he is as a person. One of the things which we mentioned right at the beginning of the Sefer is that throughout Sefer Iyov, we have a lot of Abrahamic recallings, Abrahamic imagery. Eliphaz, the name Eliphaz, was the grandson of Yitzchak. So too here, we're going to have Bildad HaShuchi. The Ibn Ezra points out that if you look in Bereishis, Perek Chafhei, it describes how Avraham, after the death of Sarah, takes a new wife. His wife's name is Keturah, and who she was is a different discussion. Some say she was Hagar. But when it lists the children of this woman, Keturah, the Pilegesh, the concubine of Abraham, it tells you that one of the children that she has is a child named Shuach. And says the Ibn Ezra, this is Bildad HaShuchi, coming from the nation of Shuach, coming from the descendants of Abraham through the side of Keturah. So once again, we're seeing that this is somebody who's very much connected to Avraham Avinu, as we will with all of the friends. Bildad's response to Tzadik V'ralo essentially is, it's good for you. It's good for you. Suffering is good for a person. Even if you didn't sin, you will still reap the benefits from this process of what you're going through. And we're going to do two things. We're going to look at how we read this in the Psukim. And then we're going to take a step back and say, well, what do the Rishonim say about this answer and its validity? Let's take a look at the Psukim. In Pasuk Dalad, Bildad reminds Iyov that he is open to the worldview of Eliphaz. He says, "In banecha chatulo, yes, your sons potentially did sin. The yishalchem beyad pisham, and being killed off. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a punishment for their sin. However, Pasuk Hei, Imata Teshacher El, the El Shakai Tischanen, if you turn and you plead with God, Imzach V'yashar Ata, if you are pure and righteous and unblemished and have not sinned, Ki Ata Ya'ir Elecha V'yishalem V'shilam Navat Tzikecha, God will pay you in response to the suffering that you're receiving, if you are deserving of pure righteousness and you're not deserving of the suffering. In other words, the next pasuk says it more specifically, pasuk Zayin, v'haya reshitcha mitzar. At the beginning, yes, it's hard, and yes, there's suffering, but at the end, acharitcha, at the end, your end will be yiske ma'od, you will receive abundance. It's all going to work out for your good in the end. The Rambam entirely rejects this concept. This concept, which is that people suffer in order to receive good, some sort of cleansing process or some sort of process of purification, maybe, that a soul needs to go through, a body needs to go through in order to come out better. And you can receive this even if you haven't sinned. Says the Rambam, that is not a Jewish concept. That is the opinion of the Ma'atzalia, which is a group, a sect of Arab philosophers who lived at the time of the Rambam. However, we know that the Gemara itself speaks about this idea. The idea that you can have Yesurim simply for the purpose of purification. The Gemara calls these Yesurim, Yesurim shel Ahava, suffering for love. Hashem loves us. Hashem wants to give us opportunities to get more reward. And therefore, we are given suffering. Now, there's really two views of understanding Yesurim shel Ahava. The one is that Yesurim shel Ahava are literally come to a person who is totally devoid of sin. A person does not deserve their suffering. However, they receive the suffering because Hashem wants them to receive good. Now, on the one hand, this maybe leaves us a little bit uncomfortable or deeply uncomfortable. On the other hand, it is something which we actually are intuitively quite comfortable with. Think about a vaccination. When we vaccinate a kid or we give someone surgery to repair something, it's excruciating. It's painful, but ultimately it's a protective service or a service which will ultimately allow better health for that person, even though they haven't done something wrong in order to deserve that punishment. Maybe that's one of the 10 tests of Avraham and one of the explanations of the 10 tests of Avraham. Avraham is not tested because he has sinned. Avraham is tested. Avraham goes through tremendous suffering in order to be rewarded. Now, it might not be that it's just being rewarded, meaning you go through suffering and then you get a prize at the end, but rather it's the process of going through suffering which cleanses you, which leaves you in a higher, more spiritual, more in touch state of being. And many of us who've been through suffering can point to those things and say, they purified me. They brought me to a state of spiritual awareness, of spiritual sensitivity, which I otherwise would not have managed to achieve. And maybe that's what Yesurim shel Ahava is. Other Rishonim say no. Yesurim shel Ahava is not that there is no sin, but rather there is a minor sin. The sin is so minor that it doesn't measure up to the level of suffering that the person is achieving. And yet, the suffering is, once again, Yesurim shel Ahava. The main focus is not to do away with the sin, but to create opportunities to encapsulate and bring about greater levels of spiritual awareness. Either way, this seems to be the opinion of Bildad. And as we said, most Rishonim hold this to be some piece of a larger piece of puzzle of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. Why do people suffer? Well, it depends. There's lots of answers. It's not a linear answer, but one of those answers, at least according to others, but not the Rambam, is Yesurim shel Ahava, an opportunity for growth. And this is the message that Bildad is going to drive home to Eov. Now, what's interesting is that Bildad uses a lot of nature imagery. Now, natural imagery, we visit natural imagery throughout Sefer Eov, and there's an incredibly beautiful description of nature. Here he's going to use two very specific images to describe his worldview of Tzadik V'Ra'lo being for the better good. And the one he's going to be using is going to be about plant life. And the other one is going to be from the animal kingdom. Specifically, he's going to be talking about spiders. And these two things are going to help us understand his understanding of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. But not only that, it actually can be understood to explain Rasha V'Tovlo. In other words, we can't just answer the question of why bad things happen to good people. We also have to answer the question of why good things happen to bad people. And we'll begin today by looking at the spider imagery, and then we'll go back and take a look at the beautiful plant imagery, which he speaks about too. The spider in Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet is used to describe the Rasha. He says as follows. He says, "Kein archot kol shachachekel." This is what happens to all people who forget God. Rasha'im, wicked people. The tikvat chanef toaved. Their hope is entirely lost. Asher, what happens? Yakot kislo, their ridiculousness will be cut down. Their silliness will be cut down. Ubet akavish mivtacho, their faith is like the house of a spider or a spider's web. What does it mean that their faith is like a spider's web? The Malbim explains that a Rasha believes that all of his successes come from him, just as the spider's web is something which is incredibly strong, but where is it coming from? It's coming from the inside of the spider. So too, the Beit Akavish is this false palace which the Russia has built for himself, where he turns around and he thinks these are the things which provide him with safety, with security, but really they are nothing. And what happens at the end when the web is, when the spider is weak, when the spider is in a bad space, so the web is destroyed and irrelevant. And so too, it would seem, Eov, says Bildad, that your successes are what kept you great and what gave you strength, but that's not true. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach BaHashem, when you have faith in Hashem, when you realize that the pillar on which you stand, the palace in which you live, is not your own doing, and it's not your own home, but it's the blessings which God has given you, then you will not be destroyed and you will not be wiped out when things fall apart. So maybe you're losing everything, not because Hashem is punishing you, but because Hashem wants to strengthen the things that you have. And when you turn to Him and you ask Him to give you more, to give you blessing, to return that which He has, which you had from before, then when you look at it the second time round, you will see that it is a gift from God. You will never rely on your own strength, and therefore what you have will have a much greater standing. Pasuk Tesvav, he says, this spider, Yisha'en al beto velo ya'amod, if he leans on his house, if he leans on his own inner strength, it won't stand up in the force of life. Yachazik po velo yakum, once again, the same idea. He doesn't have what to stand on. The plant imagery can be understood both ways. In other words, the plant imagery can be understood to be talking about tzadik v'ralo, why bad things happen to good people. And it also can be understood to talk about rasha v'tovlo, why wicked people prosper. He talks about this plant. Right, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, there's some sort of gome, some sort of plant, which can't exist without mud, without water, without sand that is saturated in water. Right, these whatever plant they are, they can't grow without a lot of water. So what happens? If it is young and tender, and it's this little plant, if you don't chop it down, then when the summer comes, it's going to be withered and totally removed. So what does Hashem need to do? Hashem needs to, in order to keep it fresh, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Ratov Hu Lifnei Shemesh, in order to keep it fresh despite the beating down of the sun, what does Hashem have to do? Hashem has to remove it. Hashem has to uproot it from its home, from its beautiful, safe little space, because there's not enough water in the space that it's in now. And that plant in the moment is sitting in the sun, happily in the garden, thinking life is perfect. And Hashem looks down and says, no, if that plant remains in that space, then as the sun is going to start to beat down on it as it gets hotter and hotter, it will die, it will shrivel. So what does Hashem do? Hashem uproots that plant in order to put it in a better place. Right? Pasuk Yod Ches, Im Yivla'enu Mimkomo, Hashem will uproot it from its place, V'chichesh bo lo ri'iticha. And you might say, oh, it's gone, I didn't see it, it's all lost, it's totally, there's no hope for anything. He says, but that's not true. Because Hein hu mesos darko u'me'afar acher yitzmachu, Hashem will put it in a much better place, and in a different earth, it will grow and it will flourish. And so maybe what Bildad is suggesting to Eov is your suffering might look so awful right now, but really what Hashem is doing is uprooting you in order to give you greater roots, in order to give you greater opportunities and more things to grow from. Alternatively, another way that the Mefarshim read this plant is, again, just like the spider is talking about Rasha V'tovlo, so too this might be talking about Rasha V'tovlo. What does that mean? The plant, he's saying, seems to be doing so well and it seems to be flourishing, but ultimately it's destined for failure, just like the Russia who seems to be flourishing, but Hashem is going to destroy it. So what happens at the end of the day? In the Pasuk Yod Ches, which we described as Hashem uprooting it, right? And sorry, in Pasuk Yod Tes, Hashem uprooting it and putting it in a different place. the way that the Malbim reads this is Umeafar Acher Yitzmachu, is not that the plant will grow in a new place, which is how we read the pasuk if it was talking about a tzaddik, but rather Umeafar, and in this dust Acher Yitzmachu, something else will grow. The Rasha might look like he's flourishing and doing well, but Hashem will chop down that Rasha and somebody else will come and inherit all of that wealth and all of that goodness and all of that bracha, somebody who's ultimately deserving of it. Either way, we see here that Bildad, on the one hand, seems to maybe hint to the fact that Eov has sinned, especially if these psukim are talking about Rasha v'tovlo, why good people flourish. But his real reason for suffering is not punishment. His real reason for punishment, for suffering, is that there should be a better good in the long run. There's going to be something better for the tzaddik, a new opportunity. And for the Rasha, well, the Rasha is going to be chopped down and left with nothing. And that's really how we can explain all of suffering according to Bildad. And it's important for us to think about this. Think about this opinion. Ask ourselves, can we see practical ramifications of it in our lives? Is it something that resonates? Is it something we're uncomfortable with? And also to remind ourselves, as I keep saying throughout the Sefer, we're really dealing with here an answer of the head, not necessarily an answer of the heart. And maybe this can resonate intellectually, but that doesn't force it to resonate emotionally with us. And the emotional component of suffering we'll deal with as the Sefer continues. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael v'Rachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.